Hello there, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And today we're going to start off with a little news out of Tim Saiuk camp. He's the Australian fighter who was scheduled to go up against Keith Thurman. Keith suffered himself some injury to his biceps, therefore had to withdraw from the fight, providing, however, an opportunity for Sebastian Fondora to enter the ring, which he gladly accepted that challenge and will do so, and will go face-to-face against him for the WBO junior middleweight title as well as the vacant WBC title. So it's going to be a two-title affair on March 30th in Las Vegas, shown on the pay-per-view Prime Video. It's the first pay-per-view video on Prime, courtesy of PBC. So we're looking forward to it indeed. So there were some comments that were flying around after that announcement was made. First one I'll let you know was that Tim was a little upset. He said he was pissed off, as a matter of fact. He said, it is what it is. There was no hesitation. It was just straight away, 10-second thing. Yes, it made me pissed off, but the focus shifts and the show goes on. Simple. You got to be able to take on all comers. He's tricky. He's tall, but whatever. I'm confident in victory by any means. Anyway, Sebastian Fondora, for his part, now keeping in mind, he is a tad bit taller. He's known as the Towering Inferno. I believe he's like, 6'7", something like that. Thurman's a little bit shorter. I'm pretty sure Fondora was also a southpaw, whereas Thurman was orthodox. So with the fight just a couple of weeks away, you could see why Tim might have been a little bit upset, but nonetheless, the fight will go on. So Sebastian Fondora had this to say. He said, my promoter calls us up and says this guy has an injury. If you guys are willing to save the fight card, you have the chance. And of course, my first reaction was yes, because this guy's a world champion and I was fighting for the vacant WBC. But if I can fight for the WBO as well as, it's a big fight, I consider him, so you may be right now the best at 154. So if I can take that spot, I'll definitely do it. Both Fondora and Saiuk are coming in on the back of fights against the same opponent. Last October, Saiuk outscored Brian Mendoza in Australia, but earlier in the year, in April, Mendoza had handed Fondora his only loss, scoring a thunderous seventh round stoppage, by the way. Mendoza, by the way, is now on the card and he's stepping in to face Bohochak, who Fondora was supposedly originally supposed to fight. So there we go. Let's see if there's any other news regarding this. There is. Let's have a quick look here. Mike Coppinger wrote on Twitter, X, WBO President Paco Valcarcel said the winner of the Tsim Saiu Sebastian Fondora must start negotiations with the mandatory challenger 5 days after the fight. That's pound-for-pound king Terence Crawford, who was able to position himself into that spot as WBO super champ at 147. If Saiu wins, as expected, big-time fight with Crawford could be on the deck this summer. The only important thing to know here is that Crawford hasn't fought since he beat Errol Spence last July, and realistically should have gone up against Boots Ennis, kept himself fit and trim, as I'm sure he is, but in terms of the fighting world, he should have gone up against Boots Ennis if he's expecting a fight against Tim Saiu. As we all know, the chronically inactive Keith Thurman missed out on a go at the unbeaten Saiu. This dude had one time suffering a biceps injury, and instead Fondora at late notice, as Coppinger writes. Saiu, he's 24-0, by the way, 17 knockouts, is expected to defeat Fondora 21-1, although it could prove to be a fun fight at the end of the month, and it could be a super fight with the 40-0 master, who has world titles 135, 140, and 147. So let's look forward to Tsim Saiu taking on Terence Bud Crawford sometime in the summer. That would be an awesome fight. Let's see, a quick look here. Oh, there is one more story. The cost of inactivity. It's not good when a 36-year-old fighter such as Crawford has failed to take advantage of the popularity he got when he won over Errol Spence Jr. Crawford wasted a lot of time campaigning for a fight with Canelo Alvarez rather than getting back in the ring and fighting the best possible opponent, as I said, Jaron Boots Ennis. Crawford, however, doesn't want to fight him, so he'll lose another year of his career sitting idle, making no money, and watching his popularity drop. He's too dangerous, and Crawford might lose. So he's focusing a more winnable fight against the slow but powerful Tyu, who hasn't been tested as a pro and has struggled at times. This move, however, lets the 36-year-old be the next in line to fight for the WBO 154-pound title against whoever emerges the winner of the Tyu-Fandora fight, which many expect to be Tim Tyu himself. So, was it a calculated risk or a missed chance is the question. It's a move that makes sense for the Nebraska native Crawford because he's not going to get a rematch with Errol Spence, and he's not interested in fighting Boots Ennis at 147. And undisputed super middleweight champ Canelo Alvarez is giving him the cold shoulder nonetheless, fighting Jaime Munguia on May 4th. This is the wrong Crawford to get the golden parachute retirement payday against Canelo anyway. He wouldn't be proving anything by capturing a belt at 154, which is too far away from the 168 division to improve his chances of getting that money fight. Crawford needs to move up to 168 and knock off one or two of the big dogs first. The winner of the Tyu-Fandora probably won't grumble too much about having to fight Crawford because it's a good money fight anyway. It's all about the money. Some sad news out of Japan. Our good friend Joe Kazumi, he's writing, we have lost another boxer. This time it looks like WBA number 9, IBF number 11, WBC number 16, unbeaten light flyweight. Light flyweight prospect. Kanemu Sakama, only 20 years of age, has passed away suddenly this Sunday, the weigh-in day of his scheduled bout to defend his Japanese youth 108-pound belt against Hayuga Oki. And that was on the undercard of the OPBF, WBO AP 154-pound title bout at the Korakuen Hall. Sakama, 9-0, 8 knockouts, is said to have committed suicide, as he couldn't make good condition to fight and had his bout canceled, of which he might have had too seriously felt guilty. Even if responsible for this cancellation, Kanemu need not punish himself, says Joe, by such incomprehensible way. Still young, he could have reestablished his career despite a single default. Very, very sad news indeed. Wow, unhappy news out of Japan. Joe DiGuardia is making news. His company, Star Boxing, returns to the Mohegan Sun Arena on April 6th as world-rated Richie Popeye the Sailor Man Rivera, 25-2, makes his long-awaited return to Connecticut against undefeated Matthew the Wise Man Obinna, 23-0, 23 knockouts. It's going to be a 10-round light heavyweight bout. Rivera is highly rated by all four major sanctioning bodies, number 5 at WBA, number 7 WBC, number 9 IBF, number 14 WBO at cruiserweight, while Obinna will be making his U.S. debut. Good news out of Joe DiGuardia's front. Here we go, triple header coming up. Toro Promotions will showcase a heavyweight trio of talent as undefeated 2020 Olympian Sone Rogava, 5-0, Alexander the Great Flores, and Kingsley Ebe will fight in separate bouts this Saturday night at the Lumcolor Phoenix Center in Ontario, California. The 6'5", 270-pound Rogava will be in his first scheduled 8-round bout against Antonio Brown in the main event. Flores will face Jose Vargas in a 6-round match, and Ebe, a cousin of Ike Ibuchi, will meet Derek Cardenas in a 6-rounder. So some good news out of California. We haven't reported on Ontario, California, quite a while, quite frankly. So more news from around the world. Let's have a look here. As we've reported before, that at the end of March, Top Rank will be presenting in association with No Limit Boxing, Oscar Valdez versus Leon Wilson, but also co-featuring Yocasta Valley, 30-2, versus Anicia Super Bad Estrada, 25-0. And they, as I said, will co-headline that event at the Desert Diamond Arena in Glendale, Arizona. A great card, streaming live and exclusively in the U.S. on ESPN+. And following a most recent training session at Wildcard Boxing Club, Valley spoke about the magnitude of her next fight. She's currently the WBO IBF minimum weight world champ. Valley's aiming to make history for Costa Rica and dethrone WBC WBA Ring Magazine world champ Estrada. This highly anticipated clash will see the Costa Rican defend her IBF and WBO straps against the long-standing rival. Valley was last seen defending her titles in a comfortable unanimous decision victory against Anabel Ortiz in November of 2023. For her part, Sinicia Estrada is certainly looking to become undisputed, on top of her mind for sure. Following a recent training session, is what Estrada had to say. Becoming an undisputed champion is something I've been chasing and waiting for a very long time. I can't wait for March 29, she says. I can't let any of the emotions or anger from the past get to me. I've been in fights before, or was able to experience that in my fight with Marlon Esparza. There was a huge rivalry between us. Came down to who's going to stay mentally focused and stick to the game plan. With all the tension leading up to the fight, this means even more because it's undisputed. During the kickoff press conference, I was there for business. I wasn't there to be friendly. This is the biggest fight of both our careers. In all her interviews and tweets, she always said I was ducking and afraid to fight her. But during the face-off, I didn't hear any of that. So that was not expected. I know I want this. More than she does. I know she's going to go in there and put up a fight of her life, and she wants it badly too, but I want it more. I've been doing this since I was 8 years old. Undisputed is in my head all day, from when I wake up in the morning until I go to bed at night, all day long. Whether I'm driving or at the gym, Undisputed is on my mind 24/7. Good for Sinisa Estrada. Very good. All right. Another fight we're all looking forward to for sure, boxing fans. Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol for the Undisputed Light Heavyweight Championship. It's all set for 2024, taking place June 1st in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. It's going to be a great matchup. These guys are certainly top of their class, okay? And who wins will certainly go down in the history books for sure. It's going to be a great, 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 great fight. Let's have a quick read here. Beterbiev and Bivol have separated themselves from the pack of contenders. Now they have nowhere else to go but against one another. Beterbiev versus Bivol is one of those tantalizing matchups between two elite champions in a clash of styles. One of them is relentless and arguably the hardest hitting fighter on the planet against arguably the smartest technician out there. For one to be defeated presumably requires the skill set of the other. Except these are generational champions. They don't just box one way. Beterbiev, the wrecking ball, possesses the footwork, control of distance, educated pressure, calmness, and high work rate to be genuinely a great boxer. And Bivol, the technician, has underrated power and the versatility to adapt to different opponents and situations. 20 men have tried to survive Beterbiev's punishment and onslaught, and none have been successful. It's a scary fact. And one that odds to the fearsome reputation and aura of the humble destroyer. Records are there to be broken and streaks are there to be halted. Yet until Beterbiev faces an opponent who has all-round ability and durability to prevent him from knocking them out, it is difficult to envisage his run of 20 straight stoppage wins coming to an end. Bivol is the only man in the 175-pound division that conceivably has the capability to stop Beterbiev's reign of terror. The Russian's perfect balance, footwork, conditioning, output, consistency, jab, defense, and accuracy completely nullified the then pound-for-pound king Saul Canelo Alvarez amongst everybody else he has faced. Bivol might arguably have the best control and range and distance since Floyd Mayweather Jr. Wow, great stuff out of globalboxingnews.co.uk. A quick little update on the Canadian boxers who are looking to qualify and compete at Paris Olympics 2024. Let's have a look here. I see. So at the world qualifier, the very first world qualifier, priority one and priority two were decided, and there are some openings. The priority one athletes identified at the first world qualifiers were our very own Scarlett Delgado, fighting in the 54-kilogram division. Great young lady, Nice young lady, fantastic stuff on Talk and Fight. She did maybe 75 interviews for us every single week when we started, launched Talk and Fight a couple of years ago. She's now in the ring day to day, looking forward to Paris 2024. Congratulations, Scarlett. In the male 92 kilogram category, Alexis Barrer also shares priority one status. Priority two athletes identified by Boxing Canada at the June 2023 box off and December 2023 team trials were another young lady appearing on Talking Fight, Mackenzie Wright, interviewed by Scarlett Delgado, I might add, in the 50 kilogram category. And in the 57 kilogram category, Marie Almadia. In the male 60 kilogram category, Justin Perina also made priority two status, as did in the 57 category, Victor Tremblay, 71 category, Junior Patanqui, 80 kilogram category, Kevin Beskajur, and in the 92 kilogram category, Brian Caldwell. Maybe some names that will pop out of the Olympics, as did Lennox Lewis quite a while ago, fighting for Canada. Leaving a couple of openings in the female category, 60 kilograms and 66 kilogram category as well. And there'll be a box off taking place in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, to determine those two openings. So we'll conclude our show today. Thanks, Boxing Canada, for that update. Appreciate it. All you boxing fans out there, remember to like, share, subscribe, help me out. It's been fun today. Got a lot of news, one very sad piece of news out of Japan. But for the most part, we must go on with the struggle. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell. We'll see you again 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on Talk and Fight. Appreciate it.